Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
This is really something, what you're hearing. A choir, a Ukrainian boys and girls choir, they traveled from Kyiv to sing at the Rolling Stones concert on Friday night in Vienna. The choir came out to join them for a special performance of this song. And then Mick and the crew stepped to the side of the stage and joined in at the end. Listen to this. Traveled, and Jagger even said this. He said they came a long way to be here tonight. They drove all the way 15 hours from Kyiv to Vienna. And in Ukraine right now, editor of Ukrainian Freedom News, Joseph Lindsley. Pretty cool, isn't it, Joseph?
Yeah, Bob, it's great. It's on many levels, the opportunity for those kids to share Ukrainian voices with the world. And I didn't know that until you just played it. I'm speaking to you from still in the Carpathian Mountains, hidden in a cottage somewhere. Some friends from Lviv came to visit over the weekend. And one of them, when I asked him how he is, he said, "I don't know where I am, somewhere between despair and something else." And so we really need the music and the culture to keep going. It was a tough weekend here, and on the musical level, for example, there were funerals for victims of the strike last Thursday on the city of Vinnytsia. And among those funerals, among those who were killed, were several of Ukraine's up-and-coming musicians. They're performing a sound check for a planned show that night when the missile struck the concert hall. And there also was we speak of the youth that we heard singing there. There was a funeral for the 4-year-old Liza, the toddler with Down syndrome, who you probably saw videos of her pushing the stroller happily just a few days before the attack. And that tore, I think, the world apart, but especially the hearts of Ukrainians, the death of 4-year-old Liza. And then not only did Ukrainians have to reckon with these sad funerals, but then Saturday night and the early hours of Sunday and also last night were nights of terror. The entire country on Saturday was under air alarm. The center of the city of Dnipro, from which I spoke to you pretty often the past few months, that city with a population of 1 million, the center was hit for the first time. Several hours after the all clear, people still heard explosions throughout the city. People were a little bit panicked, cars on fire. The Russians hit a rocket factory that a few years ago had produced equipment for SpaceX. And so here's a sign of the Russians destroying not only civilian targets, but Ukrainian innovation and enterprise. And the mayor of Dnipro, and this really astonished me, the mayor urged women and children and the elderly to leave the city. When I was there just a few weeks ago, the cafes and parks were busy. It's been a hub for the Red Cross and for the United Nations. But now it seems that Dnipro might be one of the next frequent targets. Odessa was also hit. And then just about 2 hours south of Dnipro, the city of Nikopol, a city I've come to know well lately. I've spoken to you pretty often about it. From Nikopol, you can see the Russian-occupied land across the water. But for months, the city has not been a target because it's not near the front lines on land. That changed, especially over the weekend. The past two nights, the Russians have shelled Nikopol from across the water with screaming artillery fire. And unlike with missiles, there's no warning. It just hits you. Last night, the Russians fired 60 shells at Nikopol. They hit private residential buildings, the hospital, water and gas pipelines. And my friend Maria there says, just being in that city, you are in you are the most terrifying game of Russian roulette you could imagine, inside or outside, anytime, day or night, there could be a strike.
Well, that is awful. I wish you had some better news to report. It seems like while we're distracted with other stories. The war is not only raging on, but it seems like things are getting worse for you there in Ukraine. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I mean, there are some positive indicators, but there, as a friend said in a text this morning, still the worst is in front of us, but we will prevail. Some of the positive indicators, when I speak with my friends who are fighting in Donetsk, they're very calm. They're very businesslike. There's a unit called the Kraken. It's a volunteer unit that consists of Ukrainians and foreign fighters. And they have been very aggressively pushing back against the Russians. In fact, they just hit another Russian depot in the occupied territory. There's positive signs such as that. And then today, it seems President Zelensky made a very bold move toward fighting the Russian operatives who've been in Ukraine for you know, going back to the Soviet times. He dismissed the head of the Secret Services, the SBU, and also the Prosecutor General of Ukraine. And I think we're going to see a lot more fallout from that when in the early days and weeks of the war, the southern city of Kherson near the Black Sea and that whole region fell so quickly. And Ukrainians have been wondering, you know, what happened? There must have been some Russian agents at a high level. And Zelensky's actions today in suspending the head of the spy agency, who was a childhood friend of Zelensky, but he says something has not been right. And it seems that there has been Russian infiltration. So that hopefully we'll start to see some progress on figuring out exactly how deep the Russians have been throughout this country. And I think that is a positive sign.
I was thinking over the weekend about you, Joseph, and how far away from home you are, because I was driving through Indiana and I passed South Bend, and that was your stomping grounds for quite a few years, wasn't it?
Yeah, good old Notre Dame. And I'm grateful for the education I had there, that I never knew it would prepare me for something like this, but I would say it has.
And I'm sure you're grateful for Irene from Elmwood Park. She was the winner of the Ukrainian flag a few minutes ago. And Joseph, she is actually of Ukrainian descent.
Oh, well, I mean, Slava Ukraini. And, you know, I was thinking, I love hearing about the individuals who are receiving these flags. And you know, there are many different fronts in this war. And I think we're going to see, I mean, in time, this is a great war between good and evil, and it's going to involve much more than just what we see right now. And so waving that flag is a great act of resistance and being part of one of the fronts of this war. So as my friend said, still the worst is in front of us, but we will prevail.
Let's hope. And we're grateful for your reporting, as always, Joseph Lindsley, in the Ukraine. Thank you, sir. Talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, Bob.